Welcome to Oikast. I hear green.
The podcast presented by Oikos Vienna. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Oikast. I'm Melina and today I'm here with Georg who'll talk about his bachelor thesis. Welcome Georg.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And thanks for being here. So what did you write about?
So I did my bachelor thesis in Spanish actually, and I wrote about the communication on how to reduce plastics in supermarkets, and I did a comparison of three different countries, namely Chile, Spain and Austria.
All right, that sounds very interesting, also very specific. How did you find that topic? How did you had the idea to write about that?
So I did my exchange semester in Chile, in Valparaiso, and after I came back, or while I was there actually, the Chilean government adopted a new law which required supermarkets to only give out one bag, plastic bag per customer with their shopping basically. And I was very shocked because here in Europe, at least, we had the law coming that their plastic bags will be banned completely, while they only reduced it down to one plastic bag per customer. So I did a couple more research on the topic, and also I found out that Chile had a very high consumption in plastic, especially in supermarkets. And when I came back, I only had one course missing in my bachelor thesis, and I wanted to really write about something I was passionate about. So I asked around and found the supervisor that would allow me to write it in Spanish and about a very specific topic, as you pointed out. And then I started writing.
So I have to ask that now, what did you want to write it in Spanish? I'm sure it's a bit of a challenge as well, an extra challenge.
I think because I learned Spanish while I was in Chile, and also my roommates there didn't speak any English. And I wanted to, first of all, I think, challenge myself a little bit and also try to keep the Spanish I acquired while I was abroad and then not come back and forget all about it. And also I never did like scientific or academic writing in another language than English or German. So it was a mix of, I'd say, challenge and also because it just fit the topic quite nicely.
I'm sure it made it a bit easier to find research as well, right? You're not having to translate it as much from, at least from one side, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Also because I then dig deeper into like the supermarkets and their communication. So that included like reports, press releases, social media, anything like basically external communication by supermarkets. And of course, the supermarkets in Chile and Spain had all their communication in Spanish, while the Austrian supermarkets had most of it in German. And since German is my mother tongue, and this was like easy because I didn't have to translate anything into English.
Yeah.
And also most of the literature research was either in German or Spanish. And I just like summarized it then in Spanish.
Okay, perfect then. So did I get that right? The law was like the initial, like gave you the initial idea, but you didn't write about the laws in specific, or did you also cover that a bit?
Yeah, I covered all the like legal regulation on plastic bags in supermarkets. And then what I basically did is like I counted how often plastic reduction is a topic in external communication by supermarkets, and then I drew a timeline and marked the time where either regulations were adopted or I don't know, specific requests were made. And then you saw quite nicely that the communication after such regulations of course increased because they were kind of mandatory to do it, but they always used it as a quite marketing aspects to try to position themselves differently and like more sustainable than they might have actually been because it was a legal regulation.
So could you notice that before new regulations wasn't really a topic, not such a big of a topic for supermarkets, or it was just a big change then?
I think in Chile not at all.
Yeah.
I think in Austria we do pay a bit more attention to it, and like since I would say person interested in sustainability overall and like what I can do to have an impact on the world and how to live a bit more sustainable. You always try, or like at least in my opinion, we should all try to like reduce our plastic consumption when shopping, because there most likely is an alternative that contains less plastic, either packaging or I don't know, plastic bags when you end your shopping, whatever. And in Chile, this was not the case because nobody cared about it.
Yeah.
And so it was like kind of a shock to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then having like the mindset from coming from Austria, where it's like, it is a thing, in my opinion, that people try to reduce it.
Yeah.
It was nice to compare it.
Not a thing there yet, as big of a thing, I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
So you focused on plastic bags then?
Yeah, like all packaging in in supermarkets.
Yeah.
So any product that is packaged additionally in plastic, or
mm-hmm.
especially like fruits and vegetables
mm-hmm.
packaged additionally in plastic, and then it ended with the plastic bags you receive when you pay
yeah.
and go out, yeah.
All right. So was that, I guess you kind of answered it a little bit already. So was that a big reason for you why you wanted to write about this thing? Because you're so passionate about sustainability, about reducing plastic.
Yeah, I always thought I would not like to write about anything where I cannot identify at all with it.
Mm-hmm.
And like coming from BU as a very economic university, I could exclude a lot of topics because I don't want to write about anything financially related or, I don't know, business economics related. So I tried to find my position a bit within the economic context overall
mm-hmm.
and then have or bring in my passions or my interests, my personal interests more. And then I ended up with this.
Yeah, sounds like you made a nice connection
yeah.
of like the requirements, but also your passion, which is really great. So what would you say was the key learning from your bachelor thesis? What should others know concerning this topic that now you now know after having written about it?
I felt really privileged to have been growing up and living in Austria because we do pay more attention to sustainability topics,
mm-hmm.
especially with regard to what an individual can do in his or her life.
Mm-hmm.
And also like comparing it to a South American country where they don't really do it. I mean, it was also written in 2018. I think I handed it in 2019 and I started writing 2018. So it's been a couple of years as well. So I don't know how much has changed since. But I think that was one of the key learnings. And also that within Europe, there are large differences
mm-hmm.
because like if you draw a concrete comparison, I'd say Austria was best in communicating and
mm-hmm.
also reducing plastic usage, while Spain was like lagging behind, and then Chile was like lagging way more behind.
Mm-hmm.
So even in Spain, which also has to follow European laws and European legal regulations, did not do such a good job as Austria did.
Right. Measured on how much the supermarkets communicated.
Yeah.
Then. All right. So would you say how important are supermarkets and like how important is their role in reducing maybe plastic use overall, but also in creating awareness for the problem?
I think very important because like all of us go to supermarkets on a very regular
mm-hmm.
basis. And if they are not aware of the problem or if they just don't care about the problem, they would never offer solutions or like products with less packaging and less plastic. And they don't have to do it very extremely or very openly, but just like by providing one alternative or two
mm.
alternatives, or just like cutting all plastics for fruits or vegetables because they have their own peel basically,
yeah.
Would make a lot of sense because it would be kind of nudging consumers into
mm-hmm.
just buying less plastics
mm.
without having them sign a contract or point a finger at them or like make them feel bad about themselves because they can just like provide it and not offer plastic packaging anymore.
Yeah.
And then you just don't have another option and live more sustainably as the end result.
Yeah. So it kind of just makes it easier for you as a consumer, right? You don't have to think about it that much. But do you think we as consumers can do something like in that regard when it comes to supermarkets?
Yeah, I think the rise of like no packaging supermarkets, I don't know the exact English terms, but Unverpacktläden basically, we could all try to support them more,
mm-hmm.
which I know is difficult on an everyday basis because like you just rely on going somewhere very near
yeah.
very quickly, especially when you like work or caught up in university stuff or like studying or whatever. You just want to be as close as possible. And the distribution of such no packaging stores is just not as good as with normal supermarkets. but you could try, I don't know, set a goal to go once a week to such a store and try to buy the most basic things like pasta, rice, vegetables and fruits that are maybe a bit more durable, like potatoes, onions, garlic, whatever, and try to plan a bit ahead. Then you could support them, whereas they could grow and expand, maybe open up more stores, then it would become more normal to go to such stores.
Yeah.
And as I've said before, going to a supermarket is something we all do very regularly. So it could be an everyday decision, a very small one that could lead to a very big impact, in my opinion.
Yeah. But correct me if I'm wrong, but did I get it right that you're kind of also saying, like, I get that US consumers are very have a voice we should use, making the right choice, also showing supermarkets and everybody who makes that those kinds of decisions what we value, what's important. But on the other side, it's also on like the responsibility of supermarkets to kind of make it possible or easier, like maybe more convenient for us to make that, those choices.
Yeah, I think whenever we take money in our hand, we make a decision, whether it's very active or more of a passive one is up to, like, I think the decision and what you buy, basically. But of course, it's a mixture of both, because supermarkets would need to think about and reflect and also like reflect their customers' behavior. And if customers would never demand such products or such alternatives, I don't think supermarkets have too much of an incentive to do it by their own, by themselves. But then on the other hand, they might also just ignore some trends in the market and not do it, even though there is a demand. So I think it's very difficult to distinguish whose responsibility is it in the end. But I mean, supermarkets also employ individual people who might think about it and then bring it up in meetings or like strategic decision making. And if the overall awareness just increases with everyone, which is also the communication of reduction in plastic, because this is an important aspect to it, then it will be more of a deal in everyday life, and everyone could make more sustainable decisions.
All right. I have another question concerning the content. So it kind of sounded like Austria is really like far when it comes to these topics, Austrian supermarkets compared to the others. But is there something Austria could learn from how other how the supermarkets in other countries operate, maybe concerning the law?
It's a very specific question, and having handed in my thesis more than 2 years ago, I kind of liked how Spain and Chile marketed the whole thing, because whereas we in Austria always tried to have or show negative images and like have a very negative approach to things in order to change them, especially Chile, as the South American culture in general is very like open-minded, very like active, you're loud, you're like, I mean, it sounds a bit
prejudice.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It is the case indeed. They always try to find a nice and positive way to communicate reduction in plastics, and they always try to give out a benefit for customers in order to do so. Whereas we in Austria just point fingers at each other and be like, oh, you have to do it differently, and you're bad if you do it that way. So I think that could have been nice, especially for supermarkets, to include it in their marketing and PR aspects, to have a bit of a more positive connotation to the whole topic.
It's a bit of more encouragement than shaming, not like that's bad, but that would be good.
Yeah.
Focusing on a positive. That's a really nice thing for us today to learn from them, I guess. So last question concerning the content, was there anything that surprised you when you did your research?
I think I was surprised by the difference between Spain and Austria, because I mean, European regulations are universal for all European countries, whereas the execution of it is a bit up to the country. I was also a bit surprised by the fact, I mean, I always took a couple of supermarkets within the countries and also compared them to each other and then drew general conclusions within the countries. Within Austria, I would say Hofer had the best approach to, on the one hand, reducing plastic, but also communicating the reduction of plastics, especially with their own lines, which was quite nicely. And also they kind of had very innovative ways of solving the problems, like engraving stuff, I think, on avocados and zucchinis. and others did not yet do it.
Instead of using a sticker, right?
Yeah, it's, yeah, exactly. Yeah, avoiding the plastic sticker and engraving it with a laser, I think, which is a nice idea and also fits quite nicely with more economic topics of like innovative and
Perfect. All right. Thanks for telling us so much about what you learned. Thanks for giving us the chance to learn so much from you then. But I'm also a bit interested in the end in the whole process of writing your thesis. I don't know, maybe you can tell us a little bit about how it was to have that idea, maybe make it more concrete, put it in a proposal, and then also find a supervisor.
Yeah, I think having the idea is not enough. Mm-hmm. So you need to sit down and do your research, because like there might have been a thesis or even just a report by a newspaper having done the exact same thing like I did. Just like feeling into the topic and getting a basic overview on mm-hmm. what there is already out there helps a lot in getting your topic more concrete, I think. Mine was very specific already when I had the idea, but I think a lot of students struggle with the vastness of their mm-hmm. topics in the beginning, and then they have to like limit it down to one very specific topic, because it's also a bachelor thesis. Like you're not reinventing the wheel, you're not doing anything like amazingly new or different. Mm-hmm. So you need to really like set your framework in order to not be lost and in writing and like finding out and using the right methodology, because it's a lot, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Also because I've never really done empirical writing before and empirical research. So yeah, try to limit it by doing research. And then for finding a supervisor, I would advise anyone to like, the relationship to your supervisor is more important than the topic itself, because you can mm-hmm. be passionate about more than one thing. But having a good relationship with your supervisor and setting expectations straight from the beginning, in my opinion, is more important.
Yeah.
So I really advise people to look for a supervisor maybe first with a very broad idea of what they would like to write about, and then limit it down with the interests or with the expectations also of the supervisor.
So not having the finished research proposal and then sending it, but being a little bit more open, like maybe have it as a starting point, I guess, but being open and flexible in where you're going, and like you said, setting a goal with your supervisor.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's very important, especially for a bachelor thesis. And then at least for me, it was very convenient to work with my supervisor, because I did approach him with the idea and he said yes, and in a proposal, and we can definitely do it. So I had it in the proposal and I told him exactly what was my time suggestion or time frame I had in mind. And then he had a couple of changes, because then he was on vacation. I wrote it over, I handed it in summer, but I had to hand it in order to apply for a master's degree. Mm-hmm. So I think we both had expectations. We just talked about them. We set a specific time frame, and then everything went according to plan.
Perfect then. Yeah. So where, at which institute was this professor?
Here at the Lateinamerikanisches Institut, Professor Schnitzer.
Right.
So Romantic languages. Mm-hmm. And he then had, because I think a supervisor for bachelor thesis can only be people with a doctorate. Mm-hmm. And he was the only one at the institute. I don't know if that has changed until now. And then I had another professor I could turn to for questions. And she was also there for like more basic questions and feedback. And then he read the finalized thesis and gave me the grade.
All right. So my last question would be, if there's something you'd recommend students to do before their thesis. You kind of answered that already, but is there anything else you would like to give a kind of as a tip or as recommendations for students who are just trying to find a topic, not sure what they will want to write about, how they should approach this?
As I said, the like supervisor is more important than topic.
Yeah.
This is what I would say my most important advice. And then also sit down and do your research and then write the thing. Like, don't take too much of a time. I just handed in my master thesis as well, and it took me way too long because I was like always postponing it and like not doing it. And it would just have been way better to like sit down for a couple of weeks, write it, finish it, and not drag it along too much or too long, because it is one, an important task, but also a very exhausting task at some points, because you are overwhelmed with the research that is already out there on your topic. You are overwhelmed with the methodology you would like to choose or you can do, and then also with your results, because you basically are then have, depending on what you do exactly, but a set of data, which format, whatever format they have, and then you have to do something with this. So this is also a very overwhelming thing. But yeah, ask for help if you need help, especially your colleagues and your supervisors, and just do it and write it.
Perfect. And I guess, I mean, you kind of answered that in the beginning, I guess, but I want to come back to it because I find that really inspiring. I'm sure it helped you to have a topic that you're passionate about as well, that helps you create an impact, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's important because then you also do additional readings or research, or like you just have the thing in your mind once you also close the laptop or the computer, because it's just something you're interested in your everyday life. So whenever I then walked around supermarkets, for example, I of course recognized posters or packaging differences more immediately than others would do. But I could also then use this knowledge in my thesis. I mean, I of course then did more research because I can't just say I walked around the supermarket and I found out that. But it helped me just like stay connected to the topic and not disconnect too far so that it's like cumbersome to read into it again and like find your foothold again. So that passion and deep personal interest definitely helps with that.
Perfect. Thank you so much for all your inputs, all your learnings. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me. I hope I could, I don't know, teach you something about writing and like sustainability aspects in Chile and Spain. And yeah, it was very great having you. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. We are Oikos Vienna, students for sustainable economics and management education.
Be informed, get involved, and make a difference.